preparing for what's next. So being in transition means you're going from one place to another, from one recipe to another. And transition means change. There's a lot that's going to change. That here we could only meet on Sundays and sometimes on Wednesday. But now we have the place 24/7, 24/6. That means a lot going to change. But with change come complications. With change come complications. And complications bring stress. Transitions are always, by definition, stressful. Stressful. Even the ones you are looking forward to. I was listening to Andy Stanley and he said, have you ever seen the mother of a bride? She's happy that her daughter's getting married, but she's a mess. Because her daughter's getting married. As I said in my sermon before I went to Haiti, transition is a lot like the streets of New York. It's both exciting and attractive, but you can never be certain what's awaiting around the corner. You can never be certain what's awaiting around the corner of New York, nor expecting what's around the corner when you're transitioning. And worse, can you handle it when it comes? Can you handle it when it comes? And most of you are not only experiencing our church transition, but you are going through your own personal transition. It might be a month from now, a day from now, 10 weeks from now, a year from now. But a lot of you are going through, not only are we going through a church transition as a whole, but we are going through your personal transition. And for instance, my son Isaiah is graduating June. So, yes. He's heading to college. That's a transition. I've never done that before. I've never had a child that, Julia's going to college, this year. So I know her parents. She's the first going. So they don't know what to expect. So it's a transition. You don't know what to expect around the corner. My wife just graduated, now she's looking, she's transitioned to a new job, and I could see she's stressful about it. How come I haven't heard, I've not heard from anyone yet? Transition is, stressful. I was talking to Joe, he says he's looking forward to, retirement. That's a transition, in his life. So many of us, maybe somebody is looking forward to transition to having a child, something in your life that kind of change all your day-to-day routine. Sometimes it happens sudden. Melissa didn't even know. Now she's on crutches for 6 weeks. I just found out yesterday. And when those things happen, you feel like you're transitioning. You don't know what to expect. And I know some of you are thinking, because we know how home church, we now have a home church, everything is going to be better. Everything is going to grow automatically. Everything is going to be awesome. But let me caution you. Knowing what's next is not necessarily mean you are prepared for what's next. Knowing what's coming next does not necessarily mean you are prepared for what's next. In fact, Andy Stanley did a series I was listening to that is kind of like this series. He was saying there is no necessary correlation between knowing what's next and being prepared for what's next. There is none whatsoever. No correlation between knowing what's next and being prepared for what's next. Every single Saturday, all over the world, young people are getting together dressed up, invite their friends and family to take these vows. I, so-and-so, take you, so-and-so, for my lawful wife and husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better and for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. I promise to be true to you always. And all their friends, oh, that is so beautiful. You know, that is so beautiful. She's thinking, and she's thinking, oh, he completes me. And he's thinking, look at her. She's an angel. She looks like an angel. But most of us who have been married for a little while, know one thing, that I do does not mean I can. Or should I, should you? All it means is I'm open to it. I'm open to it. But does not necessarily mean you can. You know, people are not divorced because they walk into marriage not willing to do the I do's. They don't walk into marriage and say, no, I don't want to do the I do's. They want to do the I do's. People are divorced because they walk into marriage not prepared to do the I do's. So knowing what's next does not bring success. Preparing for what's next brings success. So the question is, how to prepare for what's next? Apostle James, Jesus' brother, gave us a workable lead. In James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do not merely draft a good plan of action. Do not merely come to meeting and give good ideas, good and grandiose ideas, and so deceive yourself. Have you ever been in meetings with people who have great and grandiose ideas? Yes. I mean, they have wonderful ideas, beautiful ideas, great ideas. No, it happens. Great ideas. But when it's time to implement them, they are nowhere to be found. They are nowhere to be found. They will not pick a paintbrush. And if they do, they show up late or they don't stay for long. But all the big ideas to do the great things were their ideas. So if you think drafting a good plan or Granger's idea will accomplish anything, James is saying you're deceiving yourselves. If you come to church because you think, you know, some people come to this church and said, well, I come to this church because, you know, the preaching is sound and I like the preaching. Or, you know, we've heard people said, in fact, there's somebody who's going to this church now. Somebody said, came to me and said, you know what, it was our anniversary. And I said, hey, what are you doing here? He says, well, it was our anniversary. And I said, let's go to House of Bread and get a treat. That sounds good. It's awesome. But coming to this church and get a treat and listening to the word of God and go home and do nothing about it, about what you've just heard, you are deceiving yourself. He says, do not be a hearer of the word and so deceive yourself. Because the blessing is not in the hearing. So where is the blessing? I'm glad you asked. James says in the same text, James 1:22, he says, the blessing is in the doing. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. So as we are moving and transition to another place, if you've been here for a long time just hearing and not doing, this is the time you begin to think a little bit. Because nothing will change unless we change. These chairs we have in that other place is not going to fill themselves. I guarantee you of that. unless you invite somebody to hear the word of God. For some of you, that's all that is asked of you, to invite somebody. You don't have to come early to prepare anything. You don't have to preach a sermon. You don't have to do worship. Just invite somebody. And we must do it. I must do it. If we want to see this church flourish, so that God's name may be praised. Not so that we can become bigger and we can say we succeeded, but that God's name be praised. We have to become doers. Doers in this church. And Jesus tells us something in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, 49. About hearers that are not doers. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my word, and when they do and put it into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a person who builds a house in the ground without foundation. And the moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. In order for things to work, you have to kind of knight it. Just do it. It's not about hearing it. It's not about talking about it. It's about putting your hand into the plow, putting your hand into the work, and says, I'm going to do everything. I'm going to do my part for God. Pastor James has his part. Pastor Joe has his part. Dave has his part. Mike has his part. Alan has his part. Herman, everyone here has their part to do. The Bible calls us a body. There is no way the hands can do what the feet does. You know, when I was a kid, I used to, when you're acrobatic as a kid, you can walk on your hands. I used to walk on my hands. In fact, I was so good at it, I could go to the fridge, open the fridge, get something out of it on my hands. Oh, yeah, I was that kid. But guess what? Not for long. Not for long, you're not anymore, right? Not for long. You could do it for a time, but the feet could walk for days and days at a time. You may get tired, but it will do it better. So what I'm saying is there's something that God has for you to do in His kingdom. You let Ken do it, he'll do a good job, but he will not do it like you would. Because God has gifted you just for that. So maybe you need to start asking God, what can I do for you? God, I want to stop coming to church just to hear. Or just to criticize. Because you know, most people who don't do, criticize. Oh, this wasn't good enough. This wasn't pretty enough. Wasn't nice enough. Well, where were you? It could have been nicer if you helped. If you put your hand in it. Just as let me tell you what it's like for people who hears, who are hearers and not doers. He says, when the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and the destruction was complete. Do you know what all the lives that come tumbling down have in common? They knew it. They heard it before. When things get difficult, and they will get difficult, will you stand? And the only way you will stand if You built a foundation. And the foundation of any successful endeavor is in the doing. You could have great plan on paper. But unless you decide to get down and dirty and execute that plan. Unless everyone is held accountable. Nothing's going to happen. We will be the same church. There'll be no growth. So we all have to decide, yes, the way we're going to prepare for what's next is to become doers. Become doers. And not merely listeners, not merely bystanders. So the foundation of any successful endeavor is in the doing, not in the planning, although planning is good. Not in the grandiose ideas, although they are good. In fact, you may have had grandiose ideas, but when you get in there, start working, you're like, I can't do that. Or we should not do that. It's when you start doing, you're going to know what you can do and what you can't do. What you're able to do and what you're not able to do. And Jesus said, but the one who hears my word and put it into practice, it's like a person who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. Our job as God transitioned us from the hotel to that place is to build a solid foundation. A solid foundation. A place where people care about one another. A place where people care about their neighbors. That we get out there and let people know that Jesus saves. Otherwise, there's no reason why we should move. We should stay in this hotel and still have no neighbors. I complain a lot to God. We can't really put any roots here because it's business here, there, and it's isolated. And God says, well, now you're somewhere where you could. So what's your excuse, James? Right? So now we have no excuse. Those who hear the word of God and put it into practice are like people who dug down deep and laid a foundation on a rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck, that house could not be shaken because it was well built. One other thing that I believe we should do in our transition to build this foundation. It's not that we don't do it. We do it a lot here. But I think we can be better at it. To focus on people, not things. I know while you're preparing the lighting and the sound and the painting and the furnitures and the this and the that, sometimes somebody will, for lack of a better word, excuse me, get on your nerves. But remember, people come first. Always. I'd rather a chair is broken than a heart broken. He says, if you love me, love one another. Care for one another. I know we don't have a lot of time to get into that place. We're not patient about that, but we can be patient with one another. And it's not something that comes naturally, by the way. What I'm saying is because it's something we have to work at. Something we have to be aware of. Be aware of. And when we do that, we build a solid foundation. When people walk in our midst, they could say, wow, surely the Lord is in this place. Surely these people are the people of the way. Surely these people are practicing what they preach. Because they love one another. So, if you're part of this church and you've been in the habit of hearing and seeing, but not doing, I think it's time to make a decision to become a doer. Because going forward, that's the type of church we should be. A doing church. And everyone who is a part of us should look at it as a requirement to be a doer. You know, in an orchestra, there are many instruments. Some of them are big, some of them are small. Some of them play a huge part, and some of them play a little part. But every single one of the instruments are instrumental. They are. They are there for a reason. God placed you here for a reason. Never think that you're too insignificant to make a difference in this church. Because sometimes the sermon that is preached outside of the pulpit means more than what is preached on the pulpit. The way you behave toward a visitor or one another when we walk in before the sermon. You know, you could ruin somebody's day who came to visit, always a part of the church, and then they're sitting there. Their eyes is right on the preacher, but they're not listening a word. All they can remember is what you did to them at the door. It happens. It happens to me. It happens to you. So we have to be aware of those things. If we don't prepare for what's next, we will not be the church that God called us to do. If we don't become doers of not only doing things, but of the word of God. It's not just coming here and says, wow, that was a great word. My mother had that habit. Every time she came from church, before she did anything, she went to pray. In my head, I used to be like, that's crazy. Just came from church. And church is not like our church. 1 hour and 15 minutes. No, church was like 5 hours. And then she comes home, the first thing she does is to pray and ask God, give her the strength to practice what she just heard. That's something I need to begin to practice. In fact, especially preachers, because we prepared, we think we have it. No, both preachers and the people on the chairs needs to go home and say, God, I know what I've heard, but I need you to help me to put it into practice, because it's not easy. You know, your greatest regret in life will always be associated with hearing and not doing. Your greatest regret. It's not that most of the things that happen bad to you in life. You know, so a young girl decide to marry a guy, or a young guy decide to marry a girl. Every one of their friends and in the family told them, I don't think that's a good idea. It's not that they didn't hear it. In fact, they themselves, they saw it. But they believe once he says, I do, they can change him or change her. One of the greatest mistakes you will make, always associate with hearing and not doing. Let's be wise. So let me ask you, what do you need to do for the kingdom of God? What do you need to do for your church? because the secret is not in the hearing. But the blessing is in the doing. And the text does not say, by the way, James does not say, what you do will be blessed. James does not say, what you do will be blessed. James says, you will be blessed. Not just what you do, but you yourself will be blessed if you listen to the word of God and put it into practice. Let's prepare for what's next.